COVID-19 is affecting the world. There are a lot of uncertainties for the immediate future. How will the pandemic affect the economy, businesses, and individuals in such changeable times? In this episode of Influx, Gary Hertzberg talks to Fluxman's attorneys about the rights and obligations of employers and employees.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is Cliff Central. Joining me today is specialist labor law attorney Lisa Ann King, a director at law firm Fluxman's Attorneys. Welcome to you, Lisa Ann.
Thank you, Gary, for the opportunity to be here.
The president last night, which was the 23rd of March, announced a nationwide lockdown for 21 days, as we all know, from midnight on Thursday the 26th. And as a result of this, and I'm sure you know, a myriad of questions arises as to the legal obligations of employers to employees. Brace yourself, Lisa Ann King. Here we go. Question number one, and this is going to be fast and furious. You've got a lot to answer. With the imminent national lockdown, which starts on Thursday, 26, are employers required to pay employees? Everyone wants to know this during the period of the national lockdown.
So, Gary, this is a very difficult question from a moral perspective for employees. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus currently on what the legal principles will be. So in a situation like this where government has declared a national lockdown, employees are essentially bound to their houses and they won't be able to tender their services. And in doing so, without tendering their services, essentially they're not entitled to be paid. This is what we call a principle of supervening impossibility of performance. And that arises in this instance, which leads to a no work, no pay scenario. Now, it's most certainly not what the public out there will want to hear. It's not what any employees, all of us are in the same boat. That is the legal principle that we're dealing with now.
So this is astounding. What you're telling us, and you're telling the entire Republic of South Africa, is, and this is the advice from Fluxman's attorneys, if you don't work, there's no pay.
Absolutely. That is the legal principle, Gary.
Well, this is a shocker because most people didn't believe this. There's so much going around. That is not this, but this is the law.
Absolutely, yep. And as I said, Gary, if everybody who listened to the president's addressing the nation last night, is he asked and he asks employers specifically to assist their employees during this very difficult time. So whilst this is the legal principles in place, we're most certainly encouraging employers to assist their employees through what will be a very, very difficult and turbulent time for everybody. And in this regard, a number of my clients have been in contact with me this morning, and what we've discussed is possibilities of allowing employees to take paid leave during this time. So yes, it's not what everybody wants to hear because it's not where you'd want to be spending your normal annual leave and vacation locked up in your house. But at the end of the day, at least you are going to get paid at the end of April for the time that you're on lockdown. What we've also said is some of the employers that have better cash flows than others are looking at potentially paying the employees half of their wages or salaries during this period to see them through. They may ask them to repay it at a later stage. We don't know. But what is important for all employees out there to realize is that there's no entitlement to be paid, and any gesture from an employer at this point in time is something more from a moral point of view and whether they're in the financial position to do so. Unfortunately, Gary, in my discussions with many clients this morning, there is panic from businesses. They are concerned that if they're not producing, they're not selling, they're not getting paid for what they've done already, they are not going to be able to have a cash flow to pay people at the end of April. So, you know, it is a critical situation that we face, and obviously those businesses that are able to, we encourage to assist the employees through this time.
So the legal principle here is three words: impossibility of performance.
Yes.
And as a result of that, you do not have to pay because there's no performance.
Yes.
It's impossible for the employee to perform.
And the business has come to a halt.
There's going to be a terrible backlash here. I foresee people are going to say it's cruel, it's heartless.
Absolutely.
I mean, how can you do that to me? How many people? Fluxman's have got 180 staff members. I mean, if you decide we're not going to pay because of the impossibility of performance, although people can work from home, makes a big difference.
Yes.
It does, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Gary, just on the work from home, is that obviously those employees that are able to work from home and function effectively from home are entitled to be paid during this period. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. The difficulty that's arising that we can foresee and we've seen at the moment is the fact that employers will now have to look at what their own operational requirements are in order to determine who they need to work from home and who can work from home. Mm. Let's take an example. A production line is something that no matter what you do cannot work from home.
The Volkswagen plant in Uitenhage, which I've used before,
Absolutely can't work from home.
Yes.
Who could work from home in that plant are people in administration, people in the accounts department, people in the HR department, management, who are obviously going to have to work throughout this process to keep that business afloat. Mm. But the difficulty surrounding this is that companies in the next 2 or 3 days until lockdown are going to have to critically analyze their operational requirements to decide who can work from home. Obviously, we're also sitting in situations where companies might not even have the resources. How many companies have X amount of laptops lying around that employees can now start working remotely? This is a crisis that we're facing. So what the principle will be, those employees that are selected to work from home will be entitled to be paid. Mm. Another question that arose this morning, Gary, is that in a situation where a business provides an essential service, and it's, say, part of the food industry, but only a portion of their factory actually deal with an essential service, how do they really select which staff will work during this period in the factory environment? My advice to them was to be fair to everybody and to actually try and rotate the staff. So if you've got 50 people that all do the same job and you're going to need 10 a week or, say, 15 a week over the next 3 weeks, try and rotate those staff so at least for 1 week of this next 3 weeks, people are being paid.
Are you saying, Lisanne, that I as an employer can select during this period of lockdown who I want to employ as such and who must go and not be paid?
Absolutely. But the important thing to bear in mind, it's not a question of merely cherry-picking who you like and who you don't like in the process, because that will be criticized severely afterwards. Mm. You need to understand that in the next 3 days, as you select who is going to be able to work from home, that you're doing it objectively, based on operational requirements and the skills of the people concerned.
Okay, that's good advice. So I can't cherry-pick by saying, well, I don't really like this guy, I'm not going to use him and I'm not going to pay him.
And absolutely, Gary. Yeah. Another option could be is that if, for instance, now you need people to work and other employees have excessive annual leave, those employees could maybe be the first that are put on annual leave. Mm. And the ones that have less annual leave are the ones that actually remain and work, because those excessive annual leave balances actually are unnecessary in an employer's books, and those are the employees. So that could be used as a criteria that could be used. Those with excessive sick annual leave can be told to go and go on annual leave, and those that have less annual leave can be told to work.
Excellent. Now, while you're talking, I've been thinking, in time to come, wouldn't this be a way for us to, as employers, to realize, you know what, I actually managed with 10 people instead of the 50 that I have on hand. So I'm going to kind of consider retrenchment. Isn't this the upshot of what could happen?
Well, Gary, that I think is going to be the sadness that comes out of this whole 3 weeks ahead of us, is that I think companies, number one, are going to realize that they can actually function remotely. Mm. Number two, they're going to realize that they don't necessarily need all this excessive staff and workforce. And the concern we've got is not only employees that may be affected by this through a restructuring process, but landlords may be affected. Because going forward, when it comes to renewing your lease, you may realize that you don't need 6 or 10 boardrooms, you only need 3, because now you can use Microsoft Teams and Google Hangout and the like to have meetings with clients. You don't have to meet them face to face. So
absolutely,
I think
the way
in which business is conducted as we know it is about to change.
Let's talk some more law. What happens if during the lockdown someone becomes sick, not with coronavirus, with just coronavirus and or anything else?
So anybody that becomes sick during this period, obviously to the extent that they are able to seek medical care, they should obtain a medical certificate, which they will then present to their employer upon return to work. Those employees that are not able to get to medical care you know, during the period of lockdown, would have to, in my view, notify the HR department or their line manager at the very least during this period to inform them that they're ill and when they actually start feeling better, so that when they return to work, those days that they have been ill may be then classified as sick leave and they can be paid for that period.
The way I see it, it's going to be very hard to get a medical certificate easily.
I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be difficult. Yeah. And that's why communication between employees and employers at this point in that time is paramount.
Isn't the law that you have to produce a medical certificate, otherwise you...
Most certainly, Gary, that normally is the case. But I suppose in these situations...
There are exceptions.
Is such that it is nothing that anybody's predicted, and I think we need to be flexible in our approach. Obviously, we are going to see employees that are going to take chances. We're going to see employees that are going to lie about whether they're sick or not.
Yes.
But I think generally employers are going to have to apply quite a discretion there. If this is an employee that tends to always be sick and fibs and he's never at work on a Friday and after a public holiday, you would get a gut feel as to whether that person is in fact telling you the truth. An employee that never takes sick leave and is all of a sudden reporting that they're sick, I think you can genuinely accept that they may be sick.
I think your advice would probably be try and get a medical certificate if you can.
Yes, just to protect yourself. My advice to employers out there is to look at each case on its merits.
What is government doing to help employees during this national state of disaster?
So just from my understanding, as we sit here today, Gary, is that they have put in place that employees that develop COVID-19 as a result of a workplace environment, they would be entitled to claim payment from the compensation fund. That is one element. Then we've got a situation where the government appears to have said that they will use their tax systems to offer tax subsidies for those employees that earn less than 6,500 rand a month. They will be given tax subsidies of, I think it's 500 rand a month over a period of 4 months. Furthermore, they've indicated that SMEs, businesses that earn that have a turnover of less than 50 million, they will give them 20% relief in terms of their obligation to pay pay-as-you-earn liabilities, as well as provisional company income tax over the next, I think it's also about a four-month period. That is how I understand it. I haven't seen...
How many companies would be about 75,000, would
you estimate? I think that's what the president indicated in his announcement.
The SMEs.
Yes, the SMEs. So what we haven't seen is obviously much relief for bigger businesses, businesses that have turnover of more than 50 million. We haven't seen much relief for employees that earn more than 6,500 rand a month. So they have indicated that they're going to be looking at the UIF. They indicated last week already that there may be benefits in terms of UIF. Unfortunately, as we're sitting here today, we haven't seen any regulations coming out. I'm sure in the next few days we may have those regulations coming out. Also, Gary, I was hoping last night with the announcement that there would be some guidance to employers in these circumstances. We haven't seen much guidance.
It'll come soon,
maybe
I'm sure,
it will come. So I would say that employers and employees must keep a lookout for what is going to happen in the next few days.
Just a curveball, if I may throw at you. What happens if someone is supposed to work from home, but they say they can't really, the kids are screaming and there's all kinds of problems? Can they raise that kind of defense, if I may call it that?
I think, Gary, in these situations, those people that are unable to work from home are essentially then telling you that they can't tender their services. And then the same principle as
they don't get paid.
They won't get paid.
Yeah. So if you want to get paid, you do what the boss tells you to do in these circumstances.
You're going to have to make a plan, yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, children screaming in the background of a discussion on the telephone, everybody will be quite understanding of it, yeah.
Good. Okay, now, what steps should be done now by employers? And now meaning immediately before lockdown kicks in.
So,
what should we do?
So, Gary, this is absolutely frantic rushing around, as you can imagine, in all offices throughout South Africa at the moment. And our advice is to say, firstly, as I've indicated, look at your operational requirements over the next 3 weeks. Identify those critical staff that you're going to need to work from home. Put a workplace policy a work from home policy in place, set out guidelines, make the employees understand that regardless of the fact that they're working from home, they remain subject to disciplinary codes and procedures, IT policies and procedures.
How do they do that, in writing, by email?
I would suggest at this point in time that they put out an email.
Is Flux drafting something?
We absolutely are.
So that you can assist clients with
this? We can most certainly assist clients with that. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, Gary, I would say they need to make sure that they've got updated contact details of each and every employee in their business, whether it be cell phone numbers so that they can send out bulk SMSs, WhatsApps, email addresses. Yeah. They need that because you're going to have to be in constant communication with your staff regardless of whether they're working or not. You need to communicate. Furthermore, you need to provide contact details to the staff. If they're wanting to phone people and find out what the position is, you need to make that communication line open to everybody. Further, something that I don't think people are thinking of is with all these employees taking the property of the company off-site, you need to have some sort of a register of serial numbers, an asset register of what's been removed off the site.
Yes.
Furthermore, get hold of your insurer. Because you insured for this equipment on site.
Get
hold of your insurer. Make it known that they're removing the stuff off-site. Mm. So that if there's theft while they are off-site, you're covered by your insurance policies. These are all things that need to be seriously taken into account.
There's a flurry of
movement in this regard.
Excellent. So the bottom line is that people are going to pay a price. We all are. And we've got to understand that we just have to work together and make sure that we maximize our positions. But what's really hurtful, and you said that from the beginning, is if you don't work, you don't get paid. So you've got to do everything within your power to tender some kind of service,
if you can,
from home, wherever.
Yeah. As I said to you, Gary, I'm appealing to employers out there to be sympathetic to people during this time. It is crazy. It's a horrendous time for everybody. And, you know, it's about looking at your cash flow requirements and seeing as far as what you can go to assist your employees. What we don't want to see, of course, is we don't want to see employers that pay the employees for the whole of April, and by May, June, they're in business rescue or insolvent. Mm-hmm. So these things all need to be weighed up against each other. And the big thing that I want to communicate is that employers and employees need to work together through this, and communication is paramount.
I'm actually shocked to hear some of the stuff that you've come out with. I mean, you see all over social media, people are saying, of course your employee gets paid during this period. Someone said they're... it's no fault of the employees. Why shouldn't he get paid? His employment's only suspended. It's not terminated. That's the argument on the contra-argument. But I believe your argument.
Yes.
I think it's right.
I think, Gary, what everybody needs to understand is it's not anybody's fault, this. It's not an employer. And it's not an employee's fault. It is something that's happened, and we've had to deal with it urgently. And it's exactly what it is. It's an impossibility of performance on both parts.
Excellent. Lisa Ann King, she's a director at the firm Fluxmans Attorneys, specialist labor attorney. Thanks for this, Lisa, for coming in on short notice. We got you here overnight.
It's a pleasure, Gary. Thank you very much for having me.